Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we get to talk all about how to be effective teachers of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
I'm Julie Hilliard.
And we have had so many fabulous discussions lately. I want to just go listen to them all. I want to keep going back and saying, oh, wow, that's a good point. That's a good point. Especially one we had recently. But we won't go back to back episodes. Let's go forward, Julie.
Let's go forward. I like it.
Take us forward, Julie.
Okay. So I think last time you and I did a recording, I mentioned that I'm learning a lot from my mistakes. Maybe I say that a lot. Maybe I sound like a broken record. But I'm learning. I think I'm thinking differently. And I know that this is a principle of teaching. If you know that you're going to teach, you simply learn differently, right? You interpret things differently. You think differently. Yes. Well, this podcast has caused me to think about my own teaching and instruction a little bit differently. And I have been so blessed to receive some feedback lately, a couple of different times. And I'm going to separate them into two different episodes because they are categorically different.
Okay.
But I want to tell you about one piece of feedback that I have received. And people have told me, you know, I didn't want to share this with you because I didn't want you to take it personally, which I thought was a really, you know, sweet comment. Please always give feedback. I think that people are so concerned about, you know, hurting people's feelings. If you do it with a spirit of love and with the best of intentions, man, we can all be so blessed by feedback.
Agreed.
So this is the feedback that I received. And then I'll describe the culture of this Tuesday class that I teach because the feedback pertained to that. So there are a couple of sisters who ride to class together and that work at the temple together. And one of them recently stopped coming. And the other one shared with me that the reason she stopped coming is because she feels like the discussion gets derailed by people in the class. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I received feedback from someone else who just said, man, sometimes I wish that there was less talking and more instruction. And I'm like, huh, okay, that's kind of interesting. And I'm processing this a little bit. And then someone else said, I feel like sometimes we have difficulty moving the discussion forward because the comments kind of take us, you know, stall us out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I'm getting all of this feedback. And I want to tell you that it's really difficult as a teacher to balance your desire to get through material and your desire to teach with the Spirit and your desire to invite conversation and discussion and your desire to hear every single person and validate all of their remarks. So let me tell you what happened when my head kind of exploded around this topic, because it did. I kind of got a little bit like glitchy. So when you think about the instruction to teachers, what is the number one kind of shift that we have made in recent years in terms of the instruction that is given to any teacher of a gospel subject, like in a formal calling? What is your lens for how we're supposed to teach?
Rather than it be a one-to-many kind of interaction one way, it's more of a two-way, many-to-many, more of a discussion, conversation type.
Okay.
Where we're still learning, but at the same time, right, it's just not one person imparting all of their wisdom upon everyone else.
Right. Which, I mean, that kind of is how it used to be.
Right.
And so tell me some of the benefits of that type of instruction, meaning everyone instructing each other versus the one to many.
The benefits according to who is leading the discussion or the benefits to the class themselves?
The hopeful benefits generally, like what would the thinking behind that instruction be? Like, why would they give us that instruction?
Great question. I've never actually thought about why. I've just kind of almost intuitively known, well, that it sounds better to me, at least in this context. But off the top, I would say when we have more of a discussion, it's different points of view, different lenses, like as you would say, right? Different understandings of scriptures. And then also we can teach each other what we have learned through the Holy Ghost. And when it's just one person, it tends to be more factual. This is how things happen. Here's a story, rather than this is what happened to me. This is my experience. And it's much more real, I think, when there's more discussion.
Okay, so more perspectives, more experience, more lenses, if you will, kind of more people adding to, remember the term that we used way back when, more people adding to a shared pool of meaning. What you're trying to create is a pool of everyone's meaning. So the shared pool of meaning, which is not just information, but actually kind of how people interpret that information and what it means to them. And so you're saying that, and I'm going to put a word in there that you didn't use, but it's almost synergistic. So what it ends up creating is better than what you, Kevin Jones, could create yourself sharing your own experience in front of class, correct?
I like it.
Okay. So I agree 1,000% with that. And I have, in my experience, really appreciated sitting in classes where that's the case. I've also loved teaching classes. So what do you see as some of the potential pitfalls of that instruction? Like, what might a teacher do with that instruction?
Well, there are perceived pitfalls. For example, I think you mentioned one earlier. You can't get through everything that you always prepare.
Okay.
You know, which may not be a pitfall at all, but it may be a perceived pitfall of teachers. Discussion going off in a different direction than you anticipated it to go, and may not be healthy to go. Someone brings up, you know, well, I won't discuss. I won't bring up some of the things that may come up, but they may go way off and it's hard to bring them around. Or there's just so much discussion. And actually something that you made me think about and that I wrote down is that people give comments rather than having a discussion. And I hadn't ever quite paired those two to pit them against each other and say, what's the difference in a class? So that's where my head is going right now.
Okay. I love that you're bringing that up. So perceived pitfalls is maybe a better word, or kind of the downside of that. And you mentioned a few of them that I think all of us, you know, might think of. Here's one. I think that sometimes teachers think, oh, we're going to discuss it. So they let themselves off the hook in terms of their preparation.
Absolutely.
And so maybe we prepare less. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the thing I want to hone in on, you put words to it that I loved, was that there is a big difference between a comment and a discussion. And so I would love to, you know, so we don't get tripped up on semantics. Tell me what you're trying to get at there just a little bit.
So I think a discussion, to use your words, adds to the shared pool of meaning.
Okay.
Okay. A comment is almost a one-off. Hey, I want to share this one-off thing. And it really doesn't add to it. I feel like it's more of a spoke. I'm in my mind, my visual mind, I think of comments are, you know, you've got a center, then you've got spokes going out. Comments are just one-offs, but a discussion, it's kind of all interweaving and you build off the last one and it becomes something bigger than what it started off with.
Okay. I love that. So discussion almost has the intention of progressing the thought, and it's very tied to what has already been said, where a comment might just be a little bit more of, if I can maybe, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but like somebody's internal dialogue.
Sure.
And so it kind of just, it doesn't necessarily build on it, but it's what they're thinking. And so I don't want to get hung up on the semantics. So I hope nobody's listening to this and going, that's not what I think a comment is, la, la, la. But the point that I want to make is that I think that one of the pitfalls is that learners in their participation, now I would lump the instructor, the facilitator into that. All of us as learners sometimes get a little bit siloed in our own, like we kind of get in our own head when there's a discussion going on, and we are not as good at listening to each other and working toward a common goal. part of the reason I think we're not as good at it is because that common goal isn't always clear. Like, we don't always know what we're working towards, right? And so that's the responsibility of the teacher, to make sure that you have a clear objective in the classroom. It's not that you have to lay out and say, this is the point that I think I'm wanting to make today. Now, everybody preach to the choir and build on my point. Not suggesting that at all. What I am suggesting is that the goal in a classroom is edification, right? There's that scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 84:110. I looked it up. I don't just have that in my head. I can't pull references out of my brain.
Sure you can.
But there is that scripture, and it says, so it's talking about how the body hath need of every member, okay? So this is pulling back to the references in Corinthians where it's talking about, you know, not everyone can be the head, not everyone can be the foot, not everyone. Like, we need all the different personalities. We need all the different spiritual gifts. We need all the things that you can bring to, and I'm applying it to this scenario, to the class. Every part of everybody is important and valued. And we've talked about the idea that we want people to feel seen, heard, and valued when they are in that class. And the goal is that all may be edified together. And that goal plays in my mind when I think, I really want to make sure that every person that is in my class feels seen, heard, and valued. That's kind of how I put it. And edified together. So what's the definition? I had Kevin look it up. What's the definition of edification, or to edify?
To instruct, benefit, or improve, especially morally or spiritually, to uplift, enlighten, or inform.
Okay, so everyone is trying to work together, and I want to hone in on the word instruct, okay? To be instructed, to be uplifted, to be to learn together, right? That's what edification is. And I've always thought that that means that you need to take every single comment that every single person has so that every single person feels seen, heard, and valued. And I've done a good job of creating a culture in this Tuesday class where everyone feels like they can participate. I've even had someone say to me once, it's like I get in there and I can't help but share. And that was the ultimate compliment to me. It meant so much to me. I had somebody else say, this Tuesday class is like group therapy. And she's actually studying to be a therapist. And she's like, by definition, as I listen to what group therapy is, she's like, this class is group therapy. So all of those things have like fed my soul, because I'm so focused on making sure that I'm listening and validating. However, I've never really thought about the flip side, that as a learner, we all need to be instructed together. And the learners might be feeling a little bit neglected sometimes by my efforts to make sure every single person can say every single thought that pops into their head. And so one of the mistakes that I've made in creating this culture of talking is that I've neglected some of the people who would rather not have as much talking. So What I'm painting is a really muddy picture. Let me give you just a teensy weensy bit more detail. So in this class, I have noticed that there are, and I hope anybody listening from my class would not be offended by this. I literally am trying to dissect it and weed out what's happening so that I can become a better facilitator. So there is no, I love these people. I say these people, it sounded impersonal, but you know what I mean. I love this class so much. And I love what we've created. And so I have been wrestling with, how do I balance the needs of some people who aren't as edified and who aren't as instructed by all of these comments? And I'm like, I can't control what comes out of other people's mouths. I can't predict whether or not it's going to build on the lesson. I can't force people to make the points that I want to have made. I can't control this. And it's supposed to be guided by the Spirit. And so what other people receive as guidance is no, in no way less important than what I'm receiving from the Spirit. And so I've wrestled with, am I in any way being prideful in thinking, well, what I have to offer as a teacher is more valuable than the discussion? That is not at all what I'm trying to say. But am I flipping it and going to the opposite extreme and saying what everybody else has is more important than what I have to say as a teacher. And so in my attempt to be humble and avoid being prideful, I might have let things get a little bit out of control. And so it was interesting to me to get that feedback because it kind of made me go, wait a minute, I'm seeking the spirit in my preparation. And so how do I handle this? It's not that we need to get through more. That's not the goal. The goal is that it needs to be more of a discussion and less of the commentary, less of the pop-up comments, internal dialogue. It needs to be working together towards a goal. So that's kind of the problem. Does the wrestle make sense to you? Am I explaining this clearly enough?
So I understand that you're saying basically there's a fine line. Well, I don't know about a fine line. I'm going to call it a fine line between not enough discussion and too many comments. And you're really trying to be, I totally understand why you would want everyone to share. But then that gets out of control. If everyone is sharing all the time, number one, is it helping facilitate the spirit? Number two, are we just not moving anywhere? Everyone's spinning their wheels and we're not going anywhere because we're all sharing at the same time.
Yeah. So isn't it the opposite problem of what most classes have?
I know.
Most of the time, you're like, come on, talk to me. And you're trying to like elicit comments. It literally is the opposite of the problem that I've had in most classes that I've taught. Is that your experience too?
Yes.
Okay. So I thought this is kind of a weird problem. Never ever before would I say too much comments is an issue that we might face as teachers. Mm-hmm. But I've really been thinking about this. So can I tell you what I did to try and solve it?
I want to hear.
Okay, because I've been wrestling. I'm like, here's the wrestle. So if I say something, I might shut people down.
Of course. Right?
I don't want to do that.
Right.
If I try and, so I have several times actually said, okay, standing up in front of the group, okay, I need to get this moving forward. I'm going to talk for a second. And so I need everybody to kind of just chill the comments. I've said this. And they still comment.
Of course.
I still get interrupted. And I'm like, chill the comments. Like, stop talking. And they still interrupt me. And so other people have been like, wow, like there was an... And I'm like, stop gossiping. I don't want to gossip about this. I'm just trying to figure out how to handle this issue. So I decided, do you remember the phrase you used? It was from a Leading Saints podcast about learner councils. Do you remember talking about that podcast?
I remember, but I don't know what you're referring to. No.
Just the phrase. I decided that I needed
learning
to
council
have
phrase.
A learner council.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the phrase of learner council.
Okay.
I needed to have a learner council in our class. And so I'm like, how do I approach this? First of all, that would take the entire class. And so I'm like, I don't know that I have an entire class. This is a 90-minute class. People come to feast. Like, we're feasting on the scriptures. And so I'm like, I don't want to take a whole class to do this. So how do I really approach this? But the mindset for me was to have a learner council. I'm like, there's no way I can do this without involving the class. And so I decided that I needed to get input from them about how that would happen. So last week, at the very beginning of class, the lesson that we were teaching was 2 Nephi 6 through 10. And so we decided to focus, or I, Julie Hilliard, because I was planning, I decided to focus on 2 Nephi 9, which is a super doctrinally rich lesson. And so I felt like it lended itself well to some experimentation with this idea of being more of a learner council. So I got up at the very beginning of class and I said, okay, I've received some feedback that maybe we aren't moving the discussion forward as well as we used to, that what people want out of class, some of their needs aren't necessarily being met. And the need that was not being met is that we weren't getting enough of the lesson. People wanted more of the lesson. And so I'm like, that need isn't being met. And then I had people chime in and say, but I feel like wherever we go is where the spirit takes us. And I'm like, I think that's a really great observation. And my feeling, and this has come to me because I've been thinking about it and praying about how to handle this. My feeling is actually that that's not always true. And so I had to describe that there are times when I'm standing up in front of the class and I almost feel like the spirit leaves and my brain gets muddy. That's my clue. I feel like things start to get fuzzy to me. And when they are clear and we're moving in a direction that's cohesive, my thoughts are more clear. That's Julie Hilliard personally, how I feel the spirit. And so I said, I feel like there are times when the spirit is not part of that discussion. And so I didn't know how that would land because I kind of disagreed with the comment. So fast forward just a little bit. I said, what if, and I didn't know if this was the right approach, but I said, what if I limit how many people respond to each question? You know, instead of taking every person that raises their hand, what if I only take like a few? And then some of the people who comment a lot pushed back a little bit on that because they're like, well, but then we're not going to be able to hear from everybody. And I said, so what if I actually am selective in who I call on? So if your hand gets raised a lot, I might not call on you. And the reason that I had to make that get that specific is because there are some people who, if I don't call on them, call out to me. Does that make sense? Like
force the comment, in other words?
Yeah. And okay. Not in not being rude, but like this is a big class. There are a lot of people there. And so if my back is turned, they'll call for my attention.
Okay.
And gotcha. So, you know, I called on somebody else and they're like, but hold on. And so I specifically wanted to make clear that we can't, you know, that I might intentionally, and I've intentionally not called on some people that have commented a lot. And that's when they're like, hold on, because they think I missed seeing them.
Gotcha.
When in fact, yes, that is the intention. I had to make that explicit. I might not call on you on purpose. And then I said, and then I'm going to have specific questions where we will have a more comprehensive discussion where we'll let it go for as long as we need to. But I said, there are going to be certain questions that I'm going to ask that I want to keep the lesson moving along. And luckily, because it was 2 Nephi chapter 9, I could say, we're talking about the plan of salvation. The best part is at the end. If we don't start at the beginning and build to the end, then we're never going to get to the good stuff. If we get stuck over here and have too much discussion about the first part, we're not going to get to the best part. But we can't get to the best part and understand and appreciate it without talking about the rest of it. And so I was able to kind of say, by nature of this lesson, we've got to keep moving. So here's the hard part. I still got pushback.
Sure.
So, I'm sorry. I'm telling a really, really long story. But I still got some pushback on that. And I could tell that there are people who in a class really do feel seen, heard, and valued by being able to make their comments, right? By being able to share what is on their mind. And they also are external processors. And so they really do need that. But everybody went along with my plan. And our class was incredible. And the spirit was there. And I felt like so many people participated, people that I wouldn't always hear from were making comments, were willing to make a comment because somebody else didn't raise their hand first and faster. But what I said to them, and this is the key that I want to get to, is you are accountable for making this discussion work. And I said, so I want you to think about how you as a learner are helping to edify. You as a learner, by the comments that you make, are building on what we're talking about. You as a learner aren't just internal dialogue, whatever. Like, you're holding yourself accountable for that. How you as a learner are supporting other learners by encouraging, even through silence sometimes, other people to insert their comments into, or their discussion, their thoughts, their insights into the dialogue. And so I really put the onus on them. I'm like, I am going to be responsible for not taking too many comments, but I need you to be responsible for the type of comments that you're choosing to offer. And I think everybody thought differently. And then I was so glad because someone who I had actually discussed this with beforehand and knew how important this discussion was to me, he raised his hand and he said, "What about questions?" And I'm like, "Oh, questions 100% of the time are welcome. 100%. There is no question that is off limits. There is no," and I made that very, very crystal clear. Questions are so different from comments. And so with those ground rules, I think everybody kind of mentally shifted and said, okay, as a learner, I'm going to approach this just a little bit differently. So I want to stop my story because that really is the bulk of the story. And I want to know some of your reactions to that. And specifically, I want to talk a little bit more about a learner council and the value of that and the value of boundaries in a class. And I'm talking about more of a formal class setting right now. I'm not talking necessarily about discussions within your family because don't put up walls. Sure. Put up boundaries. So what are your thoughts, Kevin? I'm sorry. That was a really long story.
That was really good though. That's really interesting because it made me think of so many different little points that I think I have taken for granted for so long. About comments, for example. Mm-hmm. Anyone can give a comment. And it may not be edifying. But if we are trying to make a comment and have it be edifying, then that's a little different. As an example that just popped in my head, how many times have we been in sacrament? And the purpose of the person who got up to share their testimony is to comment and then sit back down. I mean, share their testimony, but it's more of a comment and they sit back down. And it's not as much trying to edify at the same time, right? And I think that's a very different take when if I am a learner in a classroom and I want to say something, I need to check it in a way and say, will this edify? Will this really, could this be of help to other people? And am I taking it in a direction or helping it go into a direction where someone is going to learn from this? And then I wrote down next to discussions, I wrote down questions. Mm-hmm. Because in a conversation, in a discussion, people are not only commenting, but they're also asking questions, right? Yeah. Yeah. When you comment, those aren't questions. A comment is a comment and you're done.
Right.
It takes on a discussion takes on an extra dimension that comments do. And if we are kind of lackadaisical in the way that we are learning, in the way that we are trying to process information and our purpose, like you mentioned, then we're just going to comment. But if we try to hone in and say, okay, I'm going to not only listen and try to feel the spirit and try to learn, but I'm also going to be helpful in the learning itself. Everyone becomes a learner and a teacher.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to pull on two things that you just said. I actually need to make just a quick comment so that nobody has hurt feelings or is offended. That when people get up to bear their testimony, I never want somebody to feel like we're judging, or criticizing. And so I just want to make that clear that if your commentary is how you start to share your feelings about the gospel, I want your comments.
Yes.
And later it will become edifying. Like, just comment.
Thank you.
Do whatever you can. Get up at the pulpit.
Yep.
I encourage everyone to share their testimony and not worry about the filters.
Are you doing it right? And yeah.
Right. So just so that nobody gets tripped up on that example, because I think we all relate as listeners to, thanks for the travel log. And so I don't want to shut anyone down who's considering getting up to share their testimony. Sorry. Okay. That was a tangent. this idea of what I hear you saying is that we as learners need to have a filter. So are we asking people to filter their comments? And is that appropriate? Like, do we want people to feel like they need to filter their comment?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, heck yes.
Okay, I think you're right. And I think that there's a flaw in our thinking if we as learners don't feel the need to filter.
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying take the authenticity out. I'm saying bring the authenticity to it and have your goal in making the comment not to share your insights, intelligence, whatever. Make your goal the edification part. Like, I think that that is the filter, is the edification. You don't even have to think, is this comment right or wrong? No, there's no right or wrong. Am I going to derail the discussion? That's not even the right filter, because sometimes the spirit leads you to say something that will derail things and the teacher will welcome that. Mm-hmm. No, the filter is this edifying? Sometimes, here's the thing, can a disagreement or a difficult question or pushing back, can that be edifying?
It's the struggle. Yes.
It's the struggle. Yes. It can let all ships rise as you engage in a wrestle together. So in no way are we saying that the filter of edifying is saying you need to now just preach to the choir and uplift everyone. That's not it. It's more, that's why I honed in on that word instruct in the definition of edify. Because if it's going to be instructive and building and enlightening, then that's the filter. Don't you, you agree?
I do agree with that. Now, can you give me an example? And maybe this is too off the cuff, but maybe give me an example of a question that you might ask, and then give me an example of an edifying comment and one that's just a comment that is the opposite, that may not has been instructive. That's really hard. Okay. I don't know that we can pull that off.
Okay, let me see if I can reply. Okay, so let me actually pull on this class that I just taught and some of the things that happened. I will tell you what was so awesome about this. So I want to just, this was one thing that was really cool for me. There were things that about the plan of salvation that I assumed that everybody in that class knew. We have a lot of newer converts that come. And so I wasn't really taking for granted that they, you know, that all of the doctrine was going to be super clear. So I really did make sure that we kind of went from square one in some of what we taught and built on that. And yet some of the questions still surprise me. And some of the questions came from people who had been members of the church for a while. And, you know, questions that were as basic as, okay, I'm trying to fit this together in my brain. And we were talking about what happens to the body when you die. And then we're talking about how you will have your body to stand before God. And that we're getting, you know, okay, which verses are referring to our time in the spirit world versus which verses are referring to our time in, you know, as we're getting resurrected, and are we what's the timing of the resurrection? And so anyway, all of this type of stuff, those questions were coming out, and I felt like people's efforts to answer those questions were so genuinely like, oh, we want to help you. We want to clarify this. And so when someone else asked a question, any response felt edifying.
Gotcha.
Okay. So now what I think you're saying is, what about when I ask a question? What's an example of an edifying response versus maybe a commentary response? Is that what you're getting
at?
Okay. So the thing that I want to back up and make clear first is that anytime anyone else in there asks a question from a genuine place, it is magic to see what happens to every other heart in there. No judgment. It is like love, 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 shower, shower, shower. Not we know more than you do. It is like, oh, let's all work this through together. It's magic.
That's great.
So never hesitate to ask a question. So, this is actually something that I've had happen several times where I will ask a question. I'm not even going to think of an example of a question, but I will have someone, instead of answering the question, they will hone in on one word of what we've been talking about or one word of the question and share an experience or start talking about that one word. And so sometimes people don't listen to the whole question, and therefore the comment that they make is less edifying and more, oh, I heard that. I'm excited about that. I want to share something about that.
Mm, that's good.
So I think that when we ask questions, part of it is making sure that the questions are clear, and then recognizing that as a learner, did I really understand the question before I respond? And if I didn't, or I'm not sure, follow it up with a, okay, is what you're asking da 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 da? Or instead of just giving your comment about that, like one part of it. Oh, she said the word, polygamy, but what we're actually talking about has to do with a story related to, eternal marriage. And all of a sudden, oh, she says about my relative right. was in a polygamous compound. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't know if that's answering your question. Because
yes. Okay. Yeah, that does. I just wanted to try to give some context around the difference and how to tell the difference, because it is not easy to articulate the difference between the two, right? It's almost a feeling.
Yeah, it is, but I also think that it has to do this filter of is what I'm going to add to the shared pool meaning, is it edifying? Part of the filter is, do I really understand what we're talking about? And if not, maybe I should ask a question instead of making a comment. Mm-hmm. That could be part of the filter.
Right. So here's another filter that might work as well. As you were saying that, what I kind of took away from that is that you're not only trying to advance the subject, trying to add more to it, but in a way, each comment by each person is almost acting as an instructor in and of themselves. So if I right. say something about eternal marriage and the word polygamy comes up, someone takes polygamy and they go the opposite direction. How many times have we been in a class where that's happened? And then we think, no, she's trying to go this direction and you took it this direction, right? So if we have an edifying comment, it's almost, and I'm going to say, I don't know that this is correct, but I'm going to say it's almost that we can almost see where you're going with this. And our comments, if we're trying to be edifying, add to the direction you're going and help us take a step further down that path.
Okay. I love that.
Does that work?
However, yeah. Okay. I don't know. So let me push back on it just a little bit. Let's kind of flesh this out, because it's something that I've genuinely wrestled with. Like, so you're saying, okay, this is what somebody could take this as. That I have a point I want to make, and if you're not making my point, then don't make a comment. That's right. Not at all what it is, right?
Exactly.
Or do you remember, we've talked about this before, I feel very strongly about not asking a question in an attempt to manipulate the answer.
Right.
I don't want to ask leading questions. I want to ask genuine questions. So part of what we have to be cautious about is maybe that we're not asking as many questions to advance to the next point, but rather our questions are centered around, hey, let's use a path analogy, right? Let's stop on the path for a minute. And I want you to look around and I want you to examine all of your five senses. And I want you to tell me what you smell. I want you to tell me what you feel. We're going to stop together. And then I'm going to start taking some more steps. And I'm going to lead us to the next place. And then let's stop in the path together and let's look around and let's talk about it. Maybe that's what we focus our questions on. Let's examine this place deeper. Instead of being like, ooh, and I'm going to ask a question in hopes that they're going to answer a certain way that's going to take us down the path to this direction, because those feel a little bit like you're trying to manipulate it, versus asking, what is your experience while we're standing at this place on the path? What is the spirit teaching you right here? And I think that's the responsibility of the instructor. Would you agree with that?
I like that analogy better. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Where we, but then it starts to, for me, just a little bit, if we say, where, if we're standing in this place, what, look around and what do you see and tell me, you know, share that. I wonder if that gets into more of a comment. Oh, look, I see the butterfly. Thank you.
That's a good point. That's a good right? point, actually. But, maybe but that's part of my problem is that I do that.
Right. So, and when I said my thing, I started thinking about the holes in it as well. Here's the thing I think we can take away from this, though, is that we don't have the perfect analogy for this. We don't have the perfect way to describe it yet. But at the same time, I think everyone can pretty much understand what we're trying to say, even though we're not saying it perfectly. Right.
Okay.
I think what you're getting across is coming across very well. And we all intuitively know that. I may not be able to perfectly describe the feeling of it or exactly what it is or the perfect example. But when we're in a class, we all know that. Right. I think we can see the diff from the different paradigm of, you know, comment versus being instructive with a good discussion and a conversation more. So I think I wish there was, maybe we can flesh that out another time and just really dive into exactly right. what that is, but I'm struggling with it.
Yeah. And I am too. And this is like, I mean, a very genuine wrestle for me is that how do I handle this? Because I feel so strongly that participation is the right way to go. So mm-hmm. I do know that there was a comment made, I read it recently and I can't remember where I read it exactly, that there is a balance that we need to strike, that we don't want teachers who let themselves off the hook by just leading a discussion and then it doesn't actually go anywhere and have a destination. And we also don't want people who just talk at the group. And so we as teachers really are trying to create a culture, build an environment where all are edified together. And so if that's the case, the one suggestion that I am basically making out of this experience and out of my wrestle is that instead of just trying to, you know, maybe take less comments and do those are some of the really, you know, good parameters that you can set up, that instead of just making all of those rules yourself, that you might involve your class in a learner council and really make explicit, not just implicitly say, I really hope everyone will think before they call. No, I make explicit that our goal as a class is to be edified. And I am not the edifier. The spirit is the edifier. And each of you is going to receive instruction from the spirit in a different way. And the only way that we're going to be edified is through a synergistic experience where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, where we are all participating and, you know, are lifted together. And so I want you to participate and I want you to know that I value so much the comments that you have to make. So how can we make sure that we as learners are making comments that are edifying and have that discussion? Involve, like, you set expectations at the beginning of the year if you're a seminary teacher. You set expectations if you're teaching any level of Sunday school, especially when it involves teenagers, and a lot of times the discussions center around the phone. Well, what if some of those discussions actually centered around how can we be better learners? And people can tell you their learning styles, and people can tell you, because I know that there are people in my class that actually learn the most from the comments that others make. And because that's their lens, they comment more. And I know that there are people in there who learn the most when they are receiving instruction. And because that is their lens, they're actually getting annoyed by the people that are commenting too much. So we have different lenses when we go into a classroom, different expectations. All of those are good and fine. How we strike a balance in it is difficult. Like I said, I mean, I even got an email afterwards from someone who said, thank you so much for talking about some of those parameters at the beginning. I've stopped coming in person. I only attend online now because I get really frustrated and I find myself having bad feelings sometimes in class because I'm getting annoyed by people commenting too much. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what fantastic feedback for me.
No kidding.
Right? And so I am responsible for helping this. This is part of my calling. And I feel strongly that I'm not going to be able to do it without involving everyone in there, because they are responsible for the comments. And so that my thought is that it's that if you find yourself in a similar situation, don't be afraid to involve everyone and have a discussion. There's so much value in a discussion about how we can all work together to create an edifying experience in our time that we have together.
That's great. Okay. I want to throw this out because it was so, what you said was so similar to another experience that I had, or that I have, and I think a lot of people have. So right now I'm a counselor in the bishopric.
Okay.
And we are trying to figure out, oh, look at this person. This person moved. We have a calling that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
What should we do? Well, we could do the STP, the same 10 people, and we could pull the same 10 people in, right?
That's so awesome.
And just say, well, this person does a great job at this. Let's just pull that person in. And we know that their contributions will be great. And, you know, I mean, it seems to happen all the time.
Right.
Okay, great. Or it's, well, we can involve everyone, whether they feel they're ready or not. Who is going to benefit the most from participating in this way and serving in this way and grow closer to their Savior because of it? It's a completely different lens, or it's a completely different way of looking at trying to fill a calling. And so when we are in learning in a classroom, this is a completely different way of learning at it as well. It's not just we're trying to get through this and we're trying to make a comment. All of a sudden, in what you're saying, the learners, according to what Lehi has said and Elder Bednar has talked about as well, they become active participants and not just being acted upon.
That's better analogy. That's way better.
They are adding to the shared pool of meaning. They are becoming teachers themselves. They are instructing one another. Doctrine and Covenants talks about that, right? Yeah, and we are all instructed together, rather than just being acted upon. And when I say acted upon, it's not, I don't see someone, if through this discussion, it's kind of changed my understanding of what acted upon means as a learner. I have in the past seen it as I'm sitting there, I'm listening, I'm not making any comments, and boom, I get it. And I just take whatever the teacher gives me. Now I'm also seeing it as someone who does that, but also makes a comment, but it isn't on the edifying side of things. They are just reacting to whatever is happening to them rather than turning around and saying, okay, let's add to this as well. That's acting on the discussion and adding to the whole thing itself. So you have changed the way I've kind of seen the role of the learner and how to help them become a part of it, an advancement part of it. I don't have the words for it. I need to go through the struggle more. Yeah, I need it's to go through the struggle.
Oh, yes. But I love that what I'm hearing us wrestling with and leading to maybe more thought with, you know, people who are participating in this podcast. What I hope that they're thinking about is, okay, I don't have what do I not have control over? Circle of influence, circle of concern, right? What is within my circle of influence? And if you have, like, if you are the teacher, other people's comments are not within your circle of influence. They're within your circle of concern. You wonder and worry about them, right? What is within your circle of influence? And what we're saying is that setting expectations, talking about goals and objectives, leading people to want to participate, valuing their participation and guiding it a little bit with maybe this, you know, goal of edification is a great way to exercise what's in your circle of influence instead of just being frustrated about what's not. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it too. I like that.
And I think that there's also this accountability that comes, like, I hope that every single one of us as a teacher is also sitting as a participant, an active participant in classes, and that we will, in kind of an empathic way, want to contribute in more edifying ways because of what we're even discussing here. So I think it benefits us from both sides, both as the instructor and as the participant, because we should be in both roles. Mm-hmm. We should not always be the instructor, right? We should absolutely be in both roles. And so instead of being judgmental about the teacher and what they are or aren't doing right, we are holding ourselves accountable for contributing in ways that are edifying and uplifting and can, you know, be active participants, to use your word, active with, you know, that's that definition that you were trying to get across in all of those lessons.
Now you've got me thinking about this, and I'm going to be thinking about this forever, trying to.
That's a good thing to think about.
It is.
It's a good thing. I'm telling you, it's a tough topic. It was a weird one for me to wrestle with. It's not something that I've ever wrestled with before. And I've, like I said, the wrestle was, am I somehow saying that what I have to say is more important than what they have to say? That was my biggest wrestle. I did not in any way want pride to enter the picture, because the minute I'm prideful about it, the spirit leaves me and my prep. Like, I just, that is not the point. And so I had to really make sure and self-check to say, well, you know, people want to hear from me. What I have to say is valuable. That's what they're saying. No, that's not what they're saying. But I had to pedal back from that a little bit, because that was at first how I could have interpreted the feedback.
Yeah.
And such is not the case. So
I wonder if this can be also applied, this whole principle that we're trying to articulate here, if we can apply that to something like seminary, where, and this is just an example of this, but I've taught seminary in the past where the kids are talkative and not necessarily on point. They'll talk to each other, talk to a small group, shout out a comment that, you know,
makes everyone laugh because they're looking more to entertain than they are to edify.
All that. Yeah. What if we, in that circumstance, if I had created a learner council and we talked about the role of the learner there and kind of come up with, okay, what do we want? What do we want out of this? And I know sometimes at the beginning of a class or when someone gets together, some teachers will say, okay, what are the rules of the class, right? I think this goes way beyond that. Yeah.
Yeah. Way beyond.
Way beyond it. And what is your role as a learner? And how will you fulfill that role? Are we all learners? Are we all instructors? What is edifying compared to what is not edifying, and kind of walk through that and help them learn? Because I think it's a good point within a learner council. I think we take for granted that we know how to learn, but it's too loosey goosey. If we honed in and really said, okay, learning uses these skills, these processes or whatever, this way of thinking, then we can actually dive in a little bit more and really get something out of it and facilitate the spirit being there. So I think what you're talking about can also, I know this is kind of unique that you have so many people who are commenting, so many great comments, but I think it can also be applied to those classes that may be a little bit out of control, like a seminary class might be.
Okay, so as you're saying that, I actually have an experience in my brain that someone related to me about their child not wanting to go to seminary anymore because she got sick of the boys shouting out stupid comments all the time. And so she was like, this is the dumbest thing and the biggest waste of my time. And I know that the teacher was frustrated about it as well, but the teacher would just try and address the behavior, not address the cause of the behavior. And so it's interesting when you brought that up, what popped into my mind was a previous episode where we were talking to Greg and Brad about teaching seminary.
Right.
And he acknowledged the need that people have to be a little bit goofy and to express themselves and to show their personalities and to connect with each other. And so do you remember how we talked about every Thursday he has the question of the day and it's intended to be a little off cuff so that they have the chance to really get to know each other? He'll be like, you know, questions about like, what are you most attracted to in the opposite sex? And they're like, what? We're going to talk about that in seminary? Are you kidding me? And they had tons to say. And so part of it is creating a space for their needs to be met as well. And so actually did something else a little unconsciously. And then I realized that I was doing it in my class. And I think it is relevant here. And that is that before and after class, I carved out more time. And the people that comment a lot naturally come up to me. And I spent more time with them before class and after class. And so that was,
that's great.
I think, a good way of handling it as well. And so, you know, if you know that people have a need and they want to be heard, make space for that. Like carve it out. So in seminary, if it's saying, look, you guys need the chit chat time, let's take the first whatever, or the very end, or in the middle, or Thursdays you can expect, or, you know, whatever it is, create space for that need to be met before class, after class, or whatever, so that you're not constantly being frustrated, kicking against a need that they have. And then they're frustrated constantly kicking against you because that need is being met. What do you think? Yeah. That's kind of what you're saying, right?
Yeah. So I have always been thinking, you know, prayer to prayer. But what about outside of that as well? Go before class, after class. I love that. And even, I don't know, maybe, you know, I'm sure there are some groups, I don't know if you have this or something, where there's like a WhatsApp group that you can throw something up there. Maybe, you know, maybe even for the teenagers, that might be a good thing to talk outside. There may or may not, I don't know. I'm making things up as I go, but you're right. Making space outside of the regular prayer to prayer, and so that they can have their needs met.
Exactly. I know. But I think that's also important to acknowledge. So I'm really glad that you brought up seminary, actually, because I think that the principles that we're talking about do apply to different settings, but we just have to really think about how do we accommodate what the needs of that group are. And that learner council principle still could apply, even if it's not because they're making too many comments, but rather because the class is getting a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I said, still fleshing it out. Part of the value of this podcast to me is that I feel like we can learn together. I wish more people could be involved in the discussion, but hopefully, if nothing else, our wrestle leads you to think, oh, I can think outside the box about this as well. There are some things that I might try, you know, and we'd love to hear whether or not they work.
Yeah.
Because we're all trying to do it together.
I completely agree with that. I would love to know, especially this subject, but anything that we're talking about, when you go and try it, what do you learn? What is your experience? I would love to take those experiences and say, okay, someone wrote in and said this, or someone made a comment on a video or on the podcast and said this, and then kind of walk through that. Because when the more that we can share with each other, and not just you and I, but everyone listening and watching as well, the more we can share those experiences, the more we can learn from them and kind of hone in and just get better and better. So please, anytime, we would love, you can make a comment on the videos or on the podcast or even at teachingrestored.com. You can go to, and there's a spot there to give feedback. And we would love to hear experiences. For example, How did you take Julie's comments today and go create a learner council and have it improve, or maybe not? Maybe it imploded. I don't know.
Tell us. I want to know.
Yeah, me too. So,
because I feel like we all learn together and get better by learning from each other. So,
agreed. Thank you, Julie. So many good things to be thinking about. I love this. I love it. Love it. Love it. If you would, as always, please share, subscribe, hit the notification, whatever, and continue to learn. Share this with your family and with your spouse, because this is also about not only teaching in Sunday school or youth or Elders Quorum Relief Society, but also within families as well. We want to help with that. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Julie. Take care, everyone.
Bye.